Hey, ¿qué pasa, Calexico? Welcome back to the podcast. Today we're in a new location. Today we're here at 900 West Birch, Suite 7. And this is going to be the new location for the rebirth of Taco Mex. And I'm here with one of the owners.
Martin Arellano.
Martin Arellano Jr., right?
Yes.
Sí, sí, porque I know your dad was, I know your dad as Martin, and I remember him from the old Taco Mex.
Yeah.
Before we started recording, we've been talking about, you know, the history of the many places Taco Mex has been in, what your parents are doing now with Birria Red. But before we get into, you know, the new Taco Mex and all these businesses or food businesses your parents have been part of, and as you and your family, because you've been telling me that you were, you know, helping them, you know, all this time when you were growing up. And
yeah.
Even after you left, you know, and did your own thing, you were, you know, in the food business. Tell us a little bit about, you know, growing up here in Calexico, what you remember of, you know, when your parents started to, you know, get into this type of business.
Yeah, for sure. So what I remember since I was a kid, the restaurants was always, you know, a thing and an everyday thing in life. So Taco Mex was invented in 1992. By my parents, Martin Arellano and Adriana Arellano. But since we were kids, me and my sisters always support, you know, help out, you know, cutting onions, cutting tomatoes, you know, serving people while we were growing up, you know. I always fell in love with their concept of that taqueria, you know, Mexicali style taqueria, you know. And it was good for Calexico because even now people are like, oh, we don't have to cross all the way to Mexicali, you know, the line and all that. So I think it was a good idea reopening the same concept that my parents had before, you know, bring it back to life, you know. A lot of fans, I remember growing up, used to always visit the restaurants, you know, Calexico and El Centro and all that. But growing up with Taco Mex was a very cool experience because when I went to culinary school, I wasn't, you know, like starting fresh, you know, like from zero. Mm-hmm. I already had like knife skills, you know, what was like different kinds of vegetables and all that that you get taught, you know, at school. But it was like a big training for me, you know, till now as a kid.
And a lot of people, when their parents, you know, have a business that's like restaurant business, growing up, they really don't want to do it.
Right.
What kind of made you want to, you know, do it as a career?
You know, it was something like I already, I thought I could like handle, you know. It came easy to me, not hard. Like, I never saw it as a job, as work. I was like... So, like, I still see it not like playing with food, you know, it's like having fun while you work, you know, but not like waking up like, oh, I have to go to work. Like, I do like it, you know, I like the restaurant experience, all that stuff, the cooking, customer service. But yeah, it was just like a big change, like every year when Taco Mex was happening back then, you know.
You mentioned that because I remember obviously the food truck was, you know, the Taco Mex food truck was something that we kind of all grew up with, you know, especially during our high school years.
Yeah.
But I remember the other location I remember was the one that was kind of where GNC is at.
Yes, by Walmart next to, yeah.
But you mentioned that there was like, many locations.
Yeah, before those, you know, my parents opened in Heber. They opened another location over there by Garcia Food Market back then, by the plaza. They had El Centro on 4th Street. They had one. Another one in Calexico. I was very young back then. I was like 3 years old, probably 4 years old when that was going on. But many spots that, you know, people like just saw the logo of Taco Mex and like, boom, they reopened again. So it was just like changing spots, like in years, you know, like 5 years here, 6 years here. But the first one in 1992 was on 2nd Street. That was when it all began.
Where was it in 2nd
Street? Where the old, what's the address on that? It's on 2nd Street and Beach Street. I think Beach.
Oh, okay,
and,
where the police was at?
Yeah, that's the same spot. Same spot.
That was a Taco Mix.
Yeah, that was the first build. The first restaurant that was on that building was Taco Mix, 1992.
Oh wow! I didn't know that. Yeah. I was, because I got here in 1990, and I didn't. 1992 was I was still too young.
Like
10. Yeah, so super. Yeah, I remember that. So you you were talking earlier, and you mentioned that you know after high school you left to Texas, but between that you went to culinary school.
Yeah, I was in San Diego. I went to SDCI. San Diego Culinary Arts Institute. I was there. I worked for 4 years at the U.S. Grand Hotel after I graduated school. And then I started moving like a lot in the like hotel industry. In San Diego, L.A., they used to change me spots all the time. I was like 20, 21 years old back then. I came back to Calexico. And I started working at Taco Mix with my parents, the one that was next to Walmart GNC.
Okay.
That was there. And then after that, like rent, the our contract was over. I think it was like 5 years at that spot. And then we just didn't continue the contract. We just pulled out. That's when Taco Mix stopped. And then my parents, they did something else like for work, you know, income. And then they came back with La Birria Red Tacos, like 6, 7 years ago, almost.
Okay. So yeah. And right now, for those of you that, you know, don't know, can't put a face to the address we mentioned earlier. Right now, we're right next to Birria Red here in Calexico.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're right next to it. So they kind of share a
dining room. Yeah.
So I just wanted to mention the address and where we're at right now. But going back to you know the hotel, you always worked in the kitchen area.
Yeah,
and all that.
Yeah. I was a chef in San Diego at the U.S. Grand Hotel, working for Starwood Hotel. So they used to like change me and travel all over you know California with the same companies of the hotels, different brands, same company.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you ended up in.
I came back to Calexico, okay. And then I went to Mexico City to live. For, what was that, 3 years. And then I went to Texas for like 11 years.
Okay. And yeah. You know what? And right now, before we start recording, I kind of wanted to pick up that accent. You have an accent in Spanish.
Yeah.
And it's from
Mexico.
You picked it up from there?
Probably, yeah. I lived there for 4 years in Cuernavaca, Morelos. That's where my kids live. But you pick it up real quick.
Yeah.
Even though you don't want to.
Yeah. Because I went to Mexico for like, I don't know, like 5 days. And yeah, there's certain like tones that you pick up.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I was like, man, I remember you growing up in Calexico. And I don't remember you like talking with that. With accent. That accent,
yeah.
So I was like, okay, now I put it.
It's stuck forever.
Yeah, yeah. So then, how did you end up in? Because we were talking, you ended up in Texas,
yeah.
And then you.
So I used to have a sports bar in Cuernavaca, Morelos, called the Rocky Sports Bar and Grill. I sold it. I lasted like 5 years with that, a restaurant bar, and then I moved to Texas, San Antonio, and then the plan was to open a food truck in San Antonio. And then there was no Baja food, no fish tacos, nada, different. You know, very Tex-Mex, you know,
yeah.
Different food. But it's good, different, you know. So I was the only fish taco spot to eat in all San Antonio. So once I opened, I got invited to a food truck festival. It was like 50 food trucks all over the U.S., and I got the first place.
Oh, wow.
So after that, it was just busy every day, nonstop. Then I had to get another truck. Then I had to buy another food truck. So I had three at the moment, and it was just, you know, business meetings, business company gatherings, all over caterings, very busy. So after that, my dad was like telling me all the time, hey, come to the valley, come back to the valley. You know, like every father in Calexico tells the kids, right? Come to the valley. Let's open a birreria in El Centro. It's doing good in Calexico. So I'm like, you know, I got my own little thing going on with the food trucks over here. I'm busy. But he's like, think about it, you know. And I thought about it. I was like, all right, let's do it. See what happens. What's the worst that can happen, right? I can always come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did it. It happened. And we opened in El Centro, the birreria. But I told him that the only The only reason I would go, like, the only thing, if we reopen Taco Mix. Like, after we do La Birria and El Centro, right? So, it's here now. We did it. A lot of work. A lot of work.
Where do all, like, the recipes and El Sazón, where is it?
That's all my dad. Apparently. Yeah. All my dad. The dishes, this with this new Taco Mix, we kept the, you know, the original ones that people used to love, like the surf and turf burrito, the carne asada burrito, the tripa tacos, carne asada fries. People used to like, that was the people's favorites, right? Uh-huh. So, we also add some new stuff to the menu, you know, more modernized, more like hype, you know, more things that are, you know, new food that's going on around restaurants, you know, the style, you know. So like the molcajetes, all those are pretty new on the menu, and it's like cool because it's different, and you know, it was never on the menu, but it's very similar to what was before on the menu, you know. That's so it, yeah, combines, it combines the new and the old. That's what I'm saying.
And that's something that that you kind of wanted to bring in, or something that you...
Yeah, so you know, modernize more than everything, you know. Fresh look, fresh menu. New stuff, playing with the old menu and the new, you know. And me and my dad just work fine with that. You know, we just click on everything that we put on the menu this time.
You guys had your soft opening
like this past weekend, Friday. Uh-huh. Yeah, Friday was good. Saturday was pretty cool. Then Sunday we had the Mexico USA game, and we had a full bar, you know. It was a very good start for the first weekend, you know.
And it's something that we haven't mentioned, you know, before. Taco Mex never had a bar, right?
No, we serve beer, but never had a bar. So mm-hmm. there's also a new stuff, you know, added to mm-hmm. the restaurant.
Because you do have a bartender that yeah. it's not only like
right. We have bartenders and servers. We have the cooks. We have people prepping in the back. You know, cleaning people, everything.
You know, you've been in the food business for a long time. I worked at Applebee's for like 5 years.
That's where I know you from. probably. That's I've seen you. I think I saw you before, but maybe it's Applebee's for sure.
Probably, yeah, because I was there 5 years.
I go all the time.
And you know, I know what it is to, you know, kind of be on the line and
yeah, and pressure.
The prepping, and something that people kind of don't understand is, you know, consistency when it comes to like food is really important.
Yes.
How do you, you know, how do you keep an eye on, you know, your other cooks to make sure that they're, you know, staying on top right. of your...
I'm always trying to be on top of the cooks, on top of the servers. Like, how do you greet a person, you know? How do you gotta go clean up, you know, the plate's done, pick it up, stuff like that. With the cooks, before we opened on this past weekend, I was training them for like 7 days, past 7 days. Training, this is how it's gonna look, this is how it's gonna be. Taste it, try it, you know. They need to know every flavor of what they're cooking. That's very important also. Training, that's how I've been keeping up with these guys. They've been good, you know, been delivering every dish how it's planned, you know. What else? I'm always in the kitchen, or, you know, you're everywhere here yeah. at a restaurant, right? Mm. If you're like the head of the person of the personnel, you're everywhere. But kitchen is very important for me, a very key point to, you know, everything has to look good. Everything, like the food needs to be warm, you know.
Yeah, because a lot of times,
all that.
Yeah, a lot of times you eat with your eyes first,
right? Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, presentation
is key. Always key, you know. Everything has a garnish. All our drinks have a garnish. We put olives on the drinks, you know. Green apple on the green apple drink, you know. Cherries on the red drink. Playing around with, you know, a lot of garnish. So garnish super important always.
Yeah. Hey guys, sorry for the interruption, but I want to take this time to thank my sponsors. I really want to thank my longtime sponsors, my friend Camilo Garcia, Eddie Lopez from Cultivating Ideas, and my friend Jake. And finally, this year's new sponsor, the Valley's champ, Gil Rebollar. Thank you so much for sponsoring the podcast. I truly appreciate your sponsorship. And if you want to become a sponsor, you can go to anchor.fm/quepasacalexico. Hit the support button in the middle of the page, and you can sponsor the podcast for 99 cents to up to $10 a month. Your sponsorship helps the podcast look and sound better, and it also helps reach out more people by doing paid promotions. And I'll leave a link in the description of today's show so you can easily find the website where you can sponsor the podcast. And now back to the show. You know, you were talking about being working in a hotel and in a restaurant, and then you were food trucks, and now you're like kind of like a smaller restaurant.
Right.
When you were in the hotel business, were you ever, you know, also in charge of from the house, or was it only
just kitchen? Yeah. Banquet kitchens and the restaurant. You know, there was like four kitchens in that hotel. Crazy. Always busy. But you get a lot of experience from a hotel. A hotel is always busy. When there's banquet events, on weekends, it can be a Wednesday and the restaurant's packed, you know. You just get like super practice every day. So that taught me a lot over there in San Diego. It was just like practicing every day. Every day was busy at a restaurant, and the banquets always like 4,000 people, 2,000 people. So it teaches you how to, like, you know, work with speed, work with persistence, you know, the finesse and all that. That it just they keep on top of you always. Mm-hmm. Always very strict chefs I had.
Yeah. And you know, thinking about, you know, hotels and then food trucks. You know, food trucks are, you know,
different.
You know, your work area is like,
yeah,
super
reduced
limited
space. You can run out of water if you don't know how, if you don't, you know, visualize how to use the water right. You can have a flat tire going to an event. Your truck can break down. I tell everybody a food truck is super harder than a restaurant, because you just, you can sell out, you know. And that's it. No more space for like cooling and cooking, all that. But it's fun, man. I love the food truck business. It's crazy. Super crazy. I used to go to a lot of events in Austin and San Antonio that there was like 60,000 people, 40,000 people. I had to get rooms for the workers that were, you know, working with me all the weekend. Festivals, music festivals. Crazy. It's fun.
How do you prep how do you take, you know, food for so many people?
So we used to pack the food truck, you know, everything, everything on ice, everything on the coolers. I had my pickup truck behind the driver. We were driving to Austin, let's say, and all my truck was packed with ice chest, fish, shrimp, carne asada, everything, just to like have extra, because you sell out quick. If you have a line and that line doesn't stop, it's just crazy, crazy, crazy. You all sell out.
Yeah. Easy. I mean, I can only imagine if you know, I mean, I worked at Applebee's, and like there was like always like the Mother's Day rush.
Yeah.
When it was like packed and like nonstop.
Crazy.
I mean, I can imagine like being in a festival is like 20, 30 times more than.
It's so much pressure, so much stress, but you become like addicted to that, man.
Honestly,
yes. Yeah. I love it.
That's something that, I kind of miss of, you know, when I used to work in the kitchen was, you know, that seeing the screen where it's like full and then like
all the tickets,
you're deleting stuff,
yeah,
and like trying to remember what you deleted so that you don't forget about it. But yeah,
it's fun.
It is a rush that, you know, I don't know.
No, it's not for everybody.
Yeah. And I can't explain, you know, I don't know. There's something like, you know, when I think about it, it's like, it's kind of like a drug. Like you're like, man, yeah. it's.
See. It's like, it's not for everybody, like I said. Mm-hmm. People can't handle, you know, so much pressure, so much stress. I've seen people having anxiety attacks in the kitchen. It's crazy. And it happens everywhere, you know. But I like it. It's for me, I guess, you know. It's like a drug. It's like, you know, like a rush, you know, that you get. It's addicting.
Yeah, I think my first year, I kind of... you know, did get anxiety. I remember like sometimes like I wouldn't want to go back to work.
Yeah.
I was like, no, it's fucking crazy. Like, yeah. I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, towards, you know, I was there like, honestly, like when I first started, I was like, I'm only going to do it for like a year or two. And then I ended up doing I ended up doing it for 5 years.
See.
And yeah, like towards the end, just because of management, like I ended up quitting. But I mean, I didn't really need the job at that point. But I still kind of, at a certain point, I enjoyed, you know,
yeah, the experience, all that.
Yeah, you know. And then the, you know, the teamwork, you know, the people I worked with, you know, I'm still really good friends with all those people, and you know, just, you know, that those experiences that you have, you know, working on the line,
it becomes like a family in the kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah, for sure. How did you go about, you know, making the decision to open an actual bar in the restaurant?
So I thought like Calexico needs a lot, you know, more spaces to, you know, more spots to go out, have fun, go out to eat. If you like, go out, have a beer, have a drink, you know. I think it's a great start, you know, this spot that is very fresh, you know, new. Another space to, you know, come and hang out, you know. People go to Mexicali or go to El Centro. It's fine, it's cool, but in the end, if you go to Mexicali, like, all the money is staying in Mexicali, not in the valley, not the locals, you know. So that's another key that I see. But, you know, just another spot to hang out. You know, I think Calexico will grow one day at, like, people want it to grow, you know, more businesses, more, you know, retail, all that. But yeah, I decided to open a bar. So we can, you know, have another option, just not just food, you know. There's drinks, there's beer, we have caguamas, cubetas, the seltzers that people are, you know, are drinking now. Sports on the TVs, music videos, menu pictures on the TVs, and all that. Yeah.
How do you, you know, we talk about, you know, going to Mexicali for tacos. Here in Calexico, yeah, there's really no...
There's not too many spots, you know, not too many spaces. Some people don't like to go to Mexicali, you know. I love to go to Mexicali, you know. I love to go eat out there. You know, people just don't go. Some people don't go, and there's a lot of people that go. But some people have Sentry, some people don't have Sentry. Yeah. That's another thing, you know. But,
yeah, especially like, you know, this weekend there was like a 3-hour line to come back on Sunday. So
yeah.
I mean, for me, like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of variety in Mexicali. You know, there's Chinese food. There's
awesome.
Japanese. There's a lot of, you know, you could go eat anything you want in Mexicali. But yeah, there's sometimes like when you want like a taco or.
You don't want to be close to home and not leave. You know, the country.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
It's just there, right?
But and you know, your parents did a good job at kind of like with the birreria. There was really no other
birreria, right? And yeah, it's till now it's crazy. They started that concept because it was like a new hype, you know, birria, the birra ramen, the quesabirrias. That was like the new stuff on Instagram that people used, like TikTok. Yeah. You know, you see it everywhere still. But they told me, I was in Texas working. They told me, hey, what do you think? We want to open a birreria, you know, with the quesabirrias. I'm like, do it. It's a hype right now. You know, it's now or never. It's now the time. So they did it, and they've been killing it, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, because I mean,
Central and here is crazy.
You see, like on their Instagram, like, oh no, we sold out. Like, we're close.
Yeah.
We sold out. Like,
yeah, El Centro, this new location that we opened, almost 2 years ago. Well, almost 2 years ago. It's blew up, man. Every day, every morning, it's busy. Weekends, it's the time we sell out. Crazy on Saturday and Sunday. That's when we need to. We prep like triple. From like what we prep like on weekdays, and it's still out. Everybody just, you know, people are hungover. People, you know, they went out last night and all that. They want something like that to like back to life, you know, come back to life. But yeah, people liked it. People, of course, they know, not everybody, right? But a lot of people, like, they familiarize Taco Mex with La Birreria because they knew us from back then, you know, people, old customers from back then, you know. You see, I met people this weekend that they're, like, 25 years old, 30 years old, and they're like, when I was a kid, my parents used to take me to the Taco Mex over there. I'm like, so that's pretty cool. And, you know, listen to those little stories, and they remember stuff, like, from the menu I used to eat, so...
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's really cool that, you know, your parents have, you know, kind of been like a staple when it comes to like food here in Calexico.
For sure.
And because we, I mean, other than the hot dogs and probably Rosas,
right?
You know, this is like the three of the restaurants that have been in Calexico,
right? Like the originals, right? Like, you could say, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's the long time, a lot of work, man. My parents have been working for a long time.
Yeah, and I see you. Yeah, and I see your dad, and he looks like Sam. I don't know how he works in like the food industry and like not look like He's tired all the time.
Right. Yeah, he's very energetic, you know. He works out, you know. Mm. He likes all that. He needs to, like he says, or else he's going to, like, collapse one day. But, yeah, he's always, like, on action since the morning, 5 in the morning. He wakes up 5 in the morning. He comes to the restaurants with the birria. They cook the birria overnight. So he comes and turns it off and starts, you know, gathering the employees and everything, getting everything ready for service every day.
So what do you want to tell the people of, you know, Imperial Valley, Mexicali, you know, about?
Come visit. I'm pretty sure you're going to like it. You know, it's a very cool spot. I think we did a great job with my friends that painted the murals. The floor is pretty cool. We have a big garden wall with huge TVs, a lot of selection of beers, you know, micheladas, chabelas. A lot of tacos, different stuff on the menu. You can check out the menu on Instagram. There's a link that's the QR code. They can click on the link and you can see all the drink menu and the food menu.
Okay. And on Instagram is
TacoMex 760. Okay. 760.
Yeah, yeah. What is something that you would recommend, like, for somebody that
like new people coming?
Yeah.
Try the molcajetes. That's pretty new. The chicharrón molcajete. The tripitos molcajete is pretty cool. I love it. People have liked it a lot, you know. Something new, very fresh, good appetizer. The tacos de carne asada, for sure. Tacos al pastor. We have the trompo every day, rotating. What else? Burrito, surf and turf burrito. That's a classic from back then. We did just a little twist, you know. We put the chipotle sauce on the burrito inside, and like we saute it in a pan. We have the California burrito. That's pretty awesome, too. The chilitos güeritos rellenos. And the drinks. The drinks are pretty cool. We're working with Beatbox this time. Yeah. And we're doing Beatbox drinks, cocktails. So that's pretty cool.
Any special drink that you would recommend?
Yes, try the Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
that was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just so you know, you grill the carne asada.
Yes.
Every morning outside on... is it
charcoal?
Oh, charcoal.
Yeah, carbon. Oh. We do carne al carbon every day outside. That's your daily carne asada that we're gonna serve here every day, fresh. We cut our meat, we marinate our meat, and then we grill it. Then we dice it.
You marinate your own
yes,
meat.
Yes, we do the whole process from 0 to 100.
Oh, okay. So yeah. You slice it too, or
yeah, we slice it. All our it's on bulk. And then we have a slicer in the back. We slice it. We marinate. We grill. We bring it back in because we grill outside. We bring it back in the kitchen, and then we cut we dice all the carne asada.
Okay. Any difference between like buying it already sliced and slice it on your?
We try to make everything from scratch. You know, the salsas are made here. The guacamole is made here. The marinades from the pastor and the marinade from the carne asada, it's all here. So we try to give it our, you know, our own kind of taste, you know. Buying it sliced, buying it non-sliced, there's a little price difference, not too crazy. But we rather, you know, buy our, like, the bulk and then slice it our own size. Like, we want it sliced.
Oh, you know? Yeah, the thickness.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thickness, for sure.
So as of right now, the business hours is going to be Wednesday through Sunday?
Yes, close Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, we open from 4 to 11. 4 to 11. And then Friday, Saturday, 4 to 12 midnight. And then Sunday, we're going to start opening from noon to 10 p.m. Well, that's our schedule for right now. But next week, our times are going to be changing.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll post it on Instagram and Facebook for sure.
Okay. And I did want to, before, you know, we wrap it up, I want to talk about the murals. So you can shout out your friends, because I think it's cool that, you know, you have three different murals done by three different of your
artists.
Friends.
Yeah, they're all from Mexicali. Mm. So, very good friend of mine, Star27, he did murals in La Vidrería El Centro and Calexico. And then also the dining room, he did a mural, two murals on that. And then Ms. Volt, that's another muralist from Mexicali. She does more like, you know, like hand mural, like stencil. Very cool. So that she did our whole kitchen, you know, when you enter the restaurant. And then Bombs, he's another muralist from Mexicali. He did all our Catrinas on this wall and the skulls go into the restroom. So, you know, good friends that I've met before. You know, I've been a big fan of graffiti art and all that. So I thought it was just like super cool to have a little part of their work, you know, in their restaurants.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that, you know, there's three different ones that.
And I'm a huge fan of their work, like super, super. I love what they do.
Okay, and I'll ask you, maybe they have Instagram, maybe we can tag them on, yes, for on sure. Instagram. So anything else that, you know, we didn't talk about that you would, you know.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, come visit us. You won't be disappointed. I hope Calexico in the Valley falls in love with this place. Mm. I fell in love with it, you know. It was a lot of work. We did it from zero to finish. And, yeah, come visit us. You'll like it.
Yeah. And I was excited when I saw it because, like I said, you know, that was something that I remember eating growing up. I mean, if it was 92, but then I remember, like, during my high school years, you know, going to Taco Mex. When we didn't go to Mexicali, we couldn't go to Taco Mex. But I was excited to see that you guys were opening again.
Yes.
And it's kind of crazy because, like, coming in, and I remember coming to this, you know, shopping center.
Right.
And I think there was a shop here that's still closed, I think, back in the days. And it looks kind of small from the outside, but from the inside, I think you guys made a good job at, you know, taking advantage of the space and making it look like.
We did like a hole on every wall, as you can see. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we connected the whole. Both restaurants at once, like La Guineria all the way to Taco Mex, just different hours, you know, the doors closed, you know, 7 to 3 La Guineria, and then we open Taco Mex after that.
Okay,
so all day working.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Yeah. I can only imagine. So the Birrerias also close Mondays and Tuesdays?
Mondays and Tuesdays. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for now we're keeping the same schedule, like the closing days, but like I said, we're gonna pull up a schedule with the new hours for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you again for accepting my invitation. I know it was a little bit last minute, but I did want to kind of talk to you before your, you know, opening, because I know, you know, it was a soft opening, but just so that I can, you know, let people know, you know, that you're here, you guys are opening again, and the different concept that you guys are trying to bring this time around with Taco Mex. And wish you guys nothing but luck. And,
thank
you know, you'll see me around here.
For sure.
For sure. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening or watching, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.